Found this in Gunner room. Gunner mirror me.
What is it?
Well, it's
It's good. The Hobbits. It's the Red Dragon Podcast.
I'm a spaceman suit in my gravity boots. I'm stuck walking the hull with a pounding in my skull. Ain't nobody knows which way the solar wind blows. Better than a man be alone.
The Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Bound for the Disintegration Tabor at noon, Aaron O'Brien.
At noon. High noon.
High noon.
And we have a special guest with us today, Natalie Schlittman.
Hi.
Welcome.
Are you coming to the Disintegration Chambers, too, with us later on?
Hand in hand?
I think I'm going to stay out of that one, guys.
No couples disintegration? It's like a two-for-one deal?
Yeah. if your number gets pulled, if someone decides to go in for you instead,
can it be like the Hunger Games? Yeah, or it's like I volunteer
as tribute.
Like if your kid get picks and like you're the father, could you say I'm going to go in instead?
I don't know. They didn't go in for
that. Nice.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, Grandpa, can you go in for me? I mean, I'm only like five.
Right. Well, our subject for today, just so you're not left in the dark, we're talking about the original series episode, Taste of Armageddon.
But first, let's kind of talk about how we met Natalie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to get into all that.
Well, I follow lots of cosplayers on Facebook because they're kind of like the ambassadors of geek culture for, you know, pretty much any kind of geek culture. And I love all the work they put into it. And Jerry Condra cosplay. I've never really said her name out loud before, so I'm sorry if I messed that up. But she put a picture up of her going to karaoke wearing Star Trek uniform, and I shared it to the Synthaholics group. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And then I messaged her.
I was at
her.
That karaoke, actually.
Oh, was it fun?
it was very fun.
What'd you sing?
You know, I don't remember.
What?
I think I drank a little too much of the Romulan ale.
The right. Blue stuff.
All right, don't tell us.
Stand by your man.
No.
It just makes me think of the Gold Knight.
Oh, jeez.
The really bad.
It was probably
karaoke.
Spice Girls or something.
Really? I was be like.
Tell me what you want. What you really want.
Katy Perry, little Eye of the Tiger. Come on. Every girl gets up and sings that one.
But anyway, like I'd asked Jerry to come on, and she was like, no, you know, she wasn't like no, but she's like, I wanted to listen to your show. And then she's like, I just feel like I need to prepare more before I come on your show. So then this is where you come in. So you spoke with her. She spoke with you about it?
Jerrica actually messaged me about it, and she said, hey, this podcast invited
Won't leave me alone. Shut them up.
No, she didn't say it like that. She said they invited me to speak on it, but it's about Star Trek, and I want to, you know, I want to finish watching Deep Space Nine first and some other stuff before I go on and speak on it. And I thought of you though, because I know you're into the Star Trek, and I was like, okay, that sounds fun. Give it a go.
And just off mic, Natalie has definitely impressed us just with her tidbits that she's thrown out of Star Trek knowledge. She just kept little things.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, oh, I want to see Daystrom cast, because I guess we can kind of roll that into what we're one bit of news for Star Trek is that they cast Harry Mudd.
Yeah, Rainn Wilson from The Office is Harry Mudd. So, and then Natalie said they should have cast Daystrom from Ultimate Computer episode. So
that would have been fun.
That would have been fun too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would have been interesting to see, you know, a scientist instead of a, I don't really know what to call Harry Mudd.
Womanizing smuggler?
Is he a,
Yeah.
His smuggler.
He's like a bad version of Han Solo.
Yeah, if Han Solo was like extra sleazy and had the awesome handlebar mustache, yeah. This is Harry Mudd.
Oh, I love that mustache.
But like, though. But more with a sense of humor. Han Solo doesn't have much of a sense of humor.
No, he doesn't. Not he's more of a dry sense of humor.
Yeah. But I do think the Rainn Wilson casting though is pretty spot on for that character.
It's not just something I would have thought of. I back when it was rumored he would be in Star Trek in the Darkness, I was always thinking like Jack Black would be a really good Harry Mudd.
Wow, that's a good pair up. I like that. I was kind of curious about that too, because everything that Rainn Wilson's been, has been pretty like he plays this really
deadpan,
intense,
character.
Dry character.
It's gonna be weird seeing him being the exact opposite to be Harry Mudd.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I guess I was kind of thinking of him in House of a Thousand Corpses, where he's a little bit more humorous and less deadpan.
I saw that in the theater when it came out, like, what, 15 years ago? I don't remember.
What was he?
He was a guy that got murdered, you know?
They all got murdered.
Because I watched House of a Thousand Corpses, but I don't remember his role. Maybe
wasn't that Rob Zombie's directorial debut?
Yeah, but that was before that was before The Office, right?
Yeah, that was before. That was before The Office.
Yeah,
I'm
that was
pretty
like
sure.
15, 16 years ago. It's an old movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh wow. I don't really know. I can't really picture him doing. I could see. I think he's got the acting chops to kind of be the bravado.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he's done. But it's just gonna be interesting seeing him go from dry to like just over the top, because that's kind of how I always see Harry Mudd. He's very over the top, silly.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even when he's being maniacal, like he's just. He's funny. He's funny to me anyway.
No, he's definitely. Did you ever see the movie Super with Rainn Wilson? Did you guys ever see that?
I didn't see that one. Oh. I saw the trailer.
It's worth it. I don't know if it's on Netflix anymore, but it was for a while. And it's where he actually plays a superhero, but it's like brutal. It's like you just like – and he's like – I don't know. You just have to see it. It's very well done. It's funny. There's like a lot of comedy to it. But it's also it's extremely brutal. Like there's like blood and guts in it. And stuff
kind of like Kick-Ass.
A little bit.
Because Kick-Ass was like humor, but it was pretty brutal.
Yeah,
too.
it has a Kick-Ass feel to it. Yeah, yeah. So
I never saw Super.
Even in the Wikipedia page, it says similarity to Kick-Ass. So
Well, I like Kick-Ass, so I might have
it's
to
a
give
a whole section about.
No,
that.
No, it's a good movie. It's not something that if you saw it, you wouldn't regret seeing it. It might not be the greatest movie you ever saw in your whole entire life, but you know it's still a fun movie. Talk about comics, just real quickly. We have two Kickstarters we just want to mention. We've had Chris Yoli from Ominous Press on our shows a couple times. Well, Ominous Press, one of their premier artists, Bart Sears, is putting out a how-to book, drawing Brutes and Babes. Kickstarter, if you do a search under Bart Sears, drawing powerful heroes, Brutes and Babes, he's probably one of the bigger artists, especially in the 90s. He did a ton of stuff for Wizard Comics and how to draw characters. He is just a powerhouse of art.
He's done like DC, Marvel.
Yeah, he's done a ton.
Dark Horse. He's been all over the place. And
right. And
this book is going to be a compilation of all the different things they put in all the Wizard magazines, plus some new stuff.
Yeah,
I hope there's a lot of new stuff, because I mean, like, I don't mind that some of it's old, but I mean, I hope it's.
Right.
I mean, for the asking price and the what he's trying to raise, it seems I'm hoping there's going to be a bunch of new content for it.
So yeah, so if you want to, if you are like an artist that's you know looking to get you know get your chops up a little better in drawing, you know, might be something you might be looking into.
I will probably get it because I'm still learning the drawing thing. And
I'm still learning the drawing thing. It's never ending. The other thing is one of our other
actually Robbie from their Nerdonomicon, he actually talked about it on his last show. He actually had him on the show.
Right. We had he had Ben Grisanti on, and Ben Grisanti is a writer from the Buffalo area, and he's doing a Kickstarter for his comic coming out, Polybius Dreams. It's about a video game.
It's like a creepypasta that takes place in an arcade. Well, Polybius is a game, an arcade game that
from the 80s.
It drives people crazy, and then
drives
they can't
them to
sleep,
suicide,
and then they like and that. They eventually commit suicide.
Right,
and then like the game was pulled, and you know it's urban legendy, slash creepypasta.
Mm-hmm. Right. It popped up in the Pacific Northeast, I guess, and there was a lot of like rumors of it being out there and people playing this Polybius Dreams, and there's all these urban legends. I don't know if it took place in Portland.
It's in that area, because that's where they did some of the testing for video games.
Right.
Back in
but
the
apparently
day.
It was real. There was a game. So called Polybius Dream or Polybius, not Polybius Dreams, called Polybius. And but who knows, you know, it's
yeah, I mean it's there's so much hearsay and stuff like that. But it just sounds like an interesting concept because I'm big into video games and I'm like, that's cool, like a scary story about that. But in the interview that Robbie did on Nerdynomicon, it's about the characters and it just happens to have this like
right.
urban legend in the background.
Right.
He said he didn't want to rewrite the legend. He just wanted to incorporate it as part of the story.
Yeah. Well, Ben Grisanti.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Ben Grisanti is a really great writer. He's done a ton of other comics. He's done not just Polybius Dreams. He's done. He had the insurance run where it's sort of like X-Files meets an insurance office. So they insure artifacts and items that are supernatural.
Huh.
But it's comedy based. You
That's
know?
Cool.
So, and I mean, he's done a whole bunch. He did The Man in the Diner and stuff like that. So, but he's done a lot of comics, and he's a good writer. And you'll probably see him at Nickel City and probably at Buffalo Comic Con, I'm assuming.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. Woo!
Yeah.
We're still trying to sit on William Shatner's lap.
We're going to try to sit on William Shatner's lap, you know, give him a kiss.
Sit so. The Holic sandwich.
Yeah.
Good luck, guys.
We'll probably get our like arms broken. So.
His bouncers
will kill us. Or maybe
we can pose as his bouncers. Maybe he'll talk to us then.
Or maybe he'll give us the double handed axe chop.
Or the butt kick.
Oh, yeah, the flying butt kick.
The flying butt kick from Babylon, what was it?
Journey to Babel,
yeah.
My brother brought the flying butt kick. Yeah. Although he does some kind of weird in the episode we're talking about today, he does some kind of weird flail. Where he takes down like four guards all at once when he was having problems with just two just 5 minutes earlier. So,
yeah. Should we get into the episode?
Let's do it.
All right. So, Taste of Armageddon.
Actually, Natalie picked this episode. It was one of her first. I asked her what episode she liked, and she, this is her first on our list. I was like, interesting.
I'm actually very happy you picked this, Natalie. It's one of those episodes I was going through my Netflix queue, and that was one of them I've been kind of skipping. I don't know why. Because I do like this episode, but it's just I think maybe I just never got around to it in the last couple of years. But so this is season 1, episode 32. I'm sorry, 23. I'm always switching the numbers around.
We're dyslexic here. Set the house.
I am actually dyslexic. But anyways, it's came out February 23rd, 1967. So there you go for the release dates. The Enterprise is off to do some diplomatic missions to meet with
to Alderaan. Oh, wait, no.
That's somebody else. they've got this ambassador Robert Fox, who looks like he hasn't slept in days.
He hasn't slept in his life. He's got those bags under his eyes. He looks at that weird race that's in the episode of Next Gen.
I know.
Where he's got the finger game. They play with Data.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I
thought.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw him. I was like, he looks just like one of those guys. And with no prosthetic makeup. That's just how he looks.
Right. So they're going to this planet in the star cluster. Robert Fox is the ambassador, and he's there to make diplomatic contact with this race, or two planets in the solar system, and apparently there's a ship that has gone there before, and it disappeared, the USS Valiant. So they valiantly went, but they
valiantly failed.
They valiantly never returned.
Brave Sir Robin ran away.
I don't think they ran away. I think they died. So they go to this planet. This called the Eminar. Am I pronouncing that right?
Eminar.
Can't remember exactly.
That sounds right to me.
Well, the MNR is the planet, and they send out messages, but they're not getting anything back. And then they decide they're going to beam down to find out what's going on.
I love it. I love when they beam down and they're so fascinated at the blue wall. Everyone just like turning and looking at this blue wall.
That's beautiful. Like blue wall.
I'm like, why?
Well, actually, before they beam down, they receive a message from the planet that's telling them not to go near the planet.
Well, they get a code, that's do not approach this planet. So,
but Ambassador Fox is like, let's You're just going. Do it anyways.
Ambassador Fox basically is the guy that's going to kill the whole crew.
It's that way. Whenever there's a guest star and he's on the Enterprise,
Commissioner Ferris from the Galloway 7.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he's just there to be a prick.
Or Daystrom. I mean, like
Daystrom.
Like anyone who's a guest star on the Enterprise and starts off on the Enterprise is gonna try and get them killed.
Yeah.
Like just,
I got an idea. It's a bad idea.
It's like there's all these like warning signs. Don't press the red button. And they all were like, I wonder what happens if I press that red button.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And they so anyways, he has Kirk, Spock, the yeoman, and two security officers go down to make contact with the people. And they get down there, and when they get down, they basically say, why did you come? You know we're at war. You shouldn't. We're between these two planets in our solar system.
I don't see any war. You look like you live in a utopia.
Right.
And we're going to find Ryza on this planet that looks so pretty.
And they meet the leader.
Horgons for everybody.
Yeah, they meet the they meet the leader, Anon Seven. And
I love how everyone's got like a number after their name.
What is that about?
I wonder if
the planet has a number, too. It's MNR7.
Yeah.
I wonder if they just like clone their people like so they can keep them running in disintegration chambers. Maybe that's why they don't care, because everyone's just like a clone. And they just wake up the next number after they're disintegrated.
Maybe it's the number that they get called on from their family. So if he's seven, he's number seven.
But it was just funny reading the memory alpha Mia, the girl. Like I read Misa. I'm like, why is Jar Jar Misa? In this? Misa.
Yeah.
I read that and I was like, I put an S in there just because I saw the letters M E A and there had to be an S in between them.
Right.
And that's how bad Jar Jar stuck in my head.
Jar Jar is always stuck in your head. So they've been
send Jar Jar to the disintegration chamber.
Misa don't want to do that.
Misa, go. Go now. So they've been at war with the Vendicar for 500 years. Now, we don't know anything about the Vendicar. These guys might be awful people.
No, they said their people left that planet and they settled the other planet.
Yeah,
and they just became assholes. So this is what we have to look forward to. When Elon Musk settles Mars, they're going to declare war on us. For 500 years.
500 years.
I think we should be on Elon Musk's side. I don't know.
I would pick him
over Trump,
over the Trump side.
Yeah. I think we'll have to. What do you think, Natalie? Do you think we should be on Elon Musk's side?
You're going to Mars?
Oh yeah, I would rather go to Mars. I'm a West Coaster.
Get your ass to Mars.
Not big fans of Trump over here.
No, I don't think many people.
I don't think anyone's big fan of Trump anymore.
They're more like the small cult acolytes. But anyways, yeah. So they meet Anon Seven, and basically, so they learn about the 500-year war, and while they're there, there's attack, and they go to this war room, and there's like, oh, it hit the city, and they're like, well, I don't hear any explosions.
Everyone's all like cringing and like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, and then like they're all scanning, and they call the Enterprise, like, what kind of bombs are they using? Neutron bombs. I'm like, really?
There's nothing.
Hmm.
We haven't detected any kind of explosion. And so then they deduce
the camera hasn't shooken like crazy since we've gotten here, so there can't be any explosions.
And no one's like jumped around the floor.
Yeah, no one's fallen over the rails.
Yeah, but so no duration, no nothing. And so they Spock already deduces that what it comes down to is that the computers are fighting the war, and the computers will tell who gets picked to go into this lottery, who goes into the
disintegration machines.
Spock says, well, this is, you know, very logical. It says, so you agree with our warfare. He's like, I don't agree.
I just understand that you're retarded.
Yeah. Yeah, so exactly. So they go to the they decide that because of this, this Enterprise got hit as a casualty of war.
Yeah, Enterprise, they show, like, this big round black circle and the light lights up on it. And then it's like, it just like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
We warned them.
We warned you. Your ship, everyone has to come down and go into the disintegration chamber.
I just love how just a hit just means they're dead. It's like, you sunk my battleship. I'm like, did you account for it having shields or
anything?
Deuterium plating or no defenses of its own? I feel like this game is cheating.
Right. Well, so they put Kirk and Spock and crew into detention, holding them while they try to figure out a way to devise them the crew to come down. Scotty's in command up above. Anon 7 calls in with a voice modulator to make himself sound like Kirk to try to get everyone to come down.
For shore leave.
For shore leave and say, everything's cool, come on down. You know,
that's an order. You must have fun and recreate.
Yeah, but everyone needs to come down for shore leave, you know.
And then the planet's people come up and work the ship. And, like, Scotty's like, well, that doesn't sound right.
It's like, we're going on a war planet. He went down to make sure it's okay. Now he's asking us all for shore leave. I'm like, we were on shore leave just a couple episodes ago, right? No.
Right. And they decide that, okay, so he runs it through the computer. And
enough people died on that one shore leave. We don't need to do another shore leave.
We don't need to do another one. We did that shore leave before with the rabbit, and that was... Just bad. Just bad.
But it was bad. We had those planes, the World War II planes going to shoot people.
What's that, Natalie?
It's at the end of Shore Leave, like the crazy feather boa things that the girls are wearing.
Oh,
the girls,
oh yeah, the McCoys like macking out with. Like, yeah. Yes, yeah. McCoy, you are a pimp.
Yeah. He was one happy doctor.
Gotta keep the doctor happy, otherwise he might kill you.
That's a good point. Yeah. But Scotty figures out Anon 7's ruse and that they are not that's not Kirk calling in to do shore leave. So
he puts up the you got to put the shields up. Something's
wrong.
Not sitting right.
While they're doing that, Kirk is in his little room where he's being imprisoned, and Mio comes in.
Misa,
not Misa. keep Jar Jar out of this, please.
Sorry.
And she's basically, you know, saying, "What can I do for you?
Well, let me talk to a non-7.
No, I can't do that.
Well, then why'd you ask?
Yeah,
go away.
I'm going to.
Unless you want to sleep with me, because I'm Kirk.
Well,
I'm
sexy. And he goes, and he's basically saying, you're like, oh, she says I'm due for the disintegration chamber.
You're not going in there.
And he's like, well, I have to. It's my civil duty. It's like jury duty. Like
jury duty.
Raised to like level 11, you know, like you have to go.
My civil duty.
It's like compulsory.
It's like if I don't commit suicide, they could kill people for real. I'm like,
okay.
But you might still be alive, so that's okay. That's okay in Kirk's book. I don't know. It's in my book too, I guess.
Right. Well, suicide is painless. That's a MASH song. Okay. Actually, it did look pretty nice. I think you just go in that room.
It's just pretend it's a transporter. Transport you to the afterlife.
As Kirk says to McCoy in Wrath of Khan, it's your big chance to get away from it all. It's my favorite line in Wrath of Khan. Go. Suppose they went nowhere. Well, then it's your big chance to get away from it.
I love when I messaged Aaron about going on my trip down to see my family. That's what he said.
It's your big chance to get away from it.
Yeah.
What if I die? It's your big chance to get away from it all.
Because there was a giant snowstorm before we were going to leave.
it was questionable if you were going to leave that day.
Yeah.
So Mia leaves. And that's when Spock uses some of his
Vulcanian.
Telepathy. Yeah, he's a Vulcanian.
You know, has he, besides he's done mind melds and obviously does the nerve pinch, but has he done this before?
I don't think he ever does it again.
Like he's like kind of tries to
using the force through the wall.
I don't really.
He does use some telepathic powers though in the Omega Glory when he convinces the Savage Lady to like give him the computer.
He's from across the jail cell, right?
Oh yeah.
It's like from across the room where they have the Constitution, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's okay. That's right. That's right. When they're doing the knife,
makes a lot of sense.
When they're doing the knife fight.
But he also mind melds with Nomad. So I mean,
yeah, that makes sense.
He's got he can feel the psychic energy of the circuits running through this robot. I guess like
that made no sense.
Vulcans are magic in TOS.
They are a little magical.
Yeah, he mind melds with V'ger too. So
yeah, he does.
Not the first machine.
I guess. Good grief.
How does that work?
Oh.
Is it because they're, I don't know, artificially intelligent? I don't.
Like Nomad wasn't.
Can he talk to my Roomba? I mean, like.
It's not intelligent.
I don't know. He sweeps the floor, right?
It's not intelligent.
can he mind meld with Data?
I mean, I know. It's like,
oh, they were in an episode together. He could have.
Yeah.
He should have.
And Sarek, oh, that would have been better than putting it in Patrick Stewart. Patrick Stewart has got to go through all these emotions. If you just would have dumped it into Data, Data would have been like, I have no idea what to do with these emotions.
Yeah. That's just shaped.
That's off. A workaround Bendai syndrome. Just mind meld with a robot.
There you go. Get
all your bad stuff out, and the robot won't know what to do with it.
Well, let's get back on subject besides mind melding with Data, which is fascinating in itself. Yeah, Spock
uses the force
as Vulcan ways, Vulcan wiles to get the guard to walk in through the door.
He pulls up his pant leg a little bit, you know.
No. And obviously Kirk takes him out, and they get his disruptor, and then they decide they're going to go out and get more guns.
They're going to get more guns.
So they get out there, and while they're doing that, they run into one of the disintegrators.
They shoot it.
Yeah, they take one of the other guards' guns, and so they're on the loose, causing havoc.
I love how like just the loss of one disintegration machine has like caused everyone to go like the quotas to fall way short. They start complaining about the quotas from the bombardment. They're worried that they're going to start an actual war from the loss of one. This is the whole planet.
Yeah.
Do they have shuttles that just fly them to? Like the one place to get the disintegration chambers?
I kind of thought they had disintegration chambers. Like maybe they have like post office. Like just
yeah, maybe it's just
like spread throughout.
Here's the every home comes with a disintegration chamber.
Every home,
it's right next to the shower. Don't go in the wrong room.
I was drunk one night and I walked in the disintegration chamber.
I peed in it. My pee was gone the next morning and got disintegrated.
This is wonderful. I don't have to clean the toilets anymore. Oh, that'd be a wonderful way to get rid of your...
Yeah. Just pee anywhere.
Just throw your garbage in the disintegration chamber.
Exactly. It doubles as a garbage disposal.
So just throw the garbage bag in there.
I wonder if it smells, though, after you disintegrate.
No, it disintegrates. It gets rid of all of it. It's all gone.
Hmm.
It's all gone. Okay, so they take out that disintegration chamber, which is wonderful.
And Kirk rescues Mia from going in.
And she's like, well, I have to die. And he's like, no, you don't. And we're not going to let you die. So this is
where... They let those other people die, though.
Yeah.
Like, saw people going
into
just
watched.
The disintegration chamber.
Well, I don't think they knew exactly what they're seeing at the moment. But then they're like...
Oh, that's not a transporter. Oh.
One way in.
No way out.
They don't come out.
Don't come out.
Oh, I love how Spock walks over to the guy and is like, there's a multi-legged creature on your shoulder. It's one of the best Spock lines ever. And then Spock reaches for the shoulder where he's looking. Like, it's not like he goes to the other shoulder where he might not see him. He goes for the same shoulder that he's looking. I'm like, wouldn't he be gotten caught? Like, why are you trying to feel up my shoulder?
Him.
Yeah, Spock was kind of gangster in this one, but he usually is when he gets to the away teams. He kind of just does his own thing.
It's such a great line. He looks at the shoulder and he reaches for the same shoulder he's looking at. I'm like, that's really weird, but it's great.
So Kirk and Spock, obviously, they destroy the disintegration chamber. They steal another disruptor. They get back to the...
prison cell, because no one will think about looking for them.
Kind of a good idea. I mean, that's the last place they would be. That's where they hole up with Mia, and they take some of those guards, and they take their clothes, and they have the two red shirts dress up as guards.
I love that.
Yeah, it's pretty actually, you know, dressing up as stormtroopers in the Death Star, you know, kind of thing. So,
and then like at this point, they're like, oh, they've escaped, and so they try to take a shot at the Enterprise
with the disruptor,
with a giant disruptor, and then.
Enterprise still holds.
Enterprise holds.
Got shields up.
Fox wants to like send them a message, and then he's like, "Oh, it was just a misunderstanding." And Fox is like, "See, they just like thought we were a pigeon.
They thought we were a pigeon. They didn't know what we were. We thought you were going to attack us. Sorry."
And then, "Oh, well, just come down and we'll fix everything." And Fox is like, "Yes, I can finally do my diplomacy thing."
He just can't wait to be a
diplomat. He just can't wait to talk to people.
Right. I can't wait to talk to people. I can't wait to talk.
I need to find new people and talk to them.
Oh, that's his job. He loves it.
He likes mansplaining.
I like mansplaining things to people.
I diplomat.
So, anyways.
Diplosplain.
At the same time when when they took the guards' stuff, Spock got his hands on a communicator by one of the guards. It was limited, but he said he was going to alter it. So while Spock's altering that communicator, Kirk goes off to find Anna and Seven to try to get to the control room. And I think he's there just to obviously stop the war by destroying the equipment in the control room, in the war room area. So
yeah, and on Seven is just like, have a drink with me. Kirk's like, no, I don't want to drink. Have a drink with me. Fine, fine. I'll drink. You're not a lady, but I'll still drink.
I'll drink. That's fine. It's alcohol. Whatever. And
Adnan calls the guards with the magic button that's right near the booze.
Well, it's like underneath the convenience store where you have the button to call the police if someone's
in his private quarters.
I worked at a convenience store. There was that button. It's underneath the counter. If you've worked at a convenience store, there's that button underneath the counter.
The red button, yes.
And you do not push it.
Don't put the cigarettes on top of it accidentally.
Yeah. No, no, it's under the counter, so you don't put anything under it. But Kirk takes Anna and Seven and basically out to the control room, and that's where he gets jumped by two guards. Kirk does pretty good fighting two guards, but then he just gets knocked.
I love how Anna on Seven just kind of looks.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't try to help.
He doesn't know how to fight.
I mean, he could try. I mean, you know, you can throw a fist.
No,
it doesn't take much to help two guards. Who are doing most of the work for you.
Well, so they drag Kirk off to the council chamber, which is right by the war room. And in the meantime, Spock has got his communicator fixed up, and he calls the Enterprise, and he basically apprises Scotty of what's going on. Says, "Get well away from the planet.
Get out of range of the weapons.
But stay in phaser range. Keep your shields up, and we're going to get in touch with you."
And he lets Scotty let Spock know that Mr. Fox Mulder is beamed down.
Mulder.
He can't wait to talk to somebody. And then Spock has to go on a rescue mission. But before, he tells the yeoman, "Don't let Mia immolate herself."
I love that.
That's a great line.
Don't let Mia immolate herself.
She's like, here, hold the gun on her. Don't let her immolate herself. Immolate her if she tries to stop you.
Yeah. So Spock and the guards take off, and they're going to put when Fox beams down, they say, well,
he's also fascinated with that blue wall. There's something about that wall.
It must be a wonderful wall.
I don't know. Must be some pictures on that we can't
wonderful
see.
Wonderful masonry work. And so when they get in the building, which we're sorry we had to do this, but you got to die.
Oh, yeah. Your ship was a casualty in the war. Like, what do you mean? Who knew?
What do you mean I got to die? What do you mean?
Can't we talk about it first, please?
No. And they just ship him off. And I just like how he's like just kind of like shell-shocked. He doesn't even know what to do. He's like, what? He just kind of shuffles off with the guys.
I think if enough Enterprise people beamed down at once, if there was an away team, that they would have fought back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't have done. They would have.
Have done the Fox Mulder and just like, yeah, we're going to go along with it.
Yeah. So while they're going to put him into the disintegration chamber, that's when Spock jumps in, saves Ambassador Fox.
I was waiting for Fox to die. It's been a long time since I've seen this episode. I was kind of hoping he would, because you always want those people on board the Enterprise to be getting to die because they're just terrible people.
And then Spock takes aim at the disintegration chamber, and Fox says to Spock, "What are you doing?" Because
aggressive negotiations.
He says strange diplomacy or something to that nature. You know, it's a great line as he shoots it and he blows
aggressive diplomacy. I think he's like,
I don't think he says aggressive. I think he says like strange or peculiar.
I can't remember exactly.
Diplomacy. So
I was doing Star Wars.
Jeez.
Really?
Stop with the Star Wars.
Sorry.
I don't want to think about that movie anymore. Then we jump to Kirk and Anon in the council chamber, and they call the Enterprise and basically saying,
"We've got your captain." And then Kirk's like, "Do Operation 24 in 2 hours now."
Right, and so he says, "We'll kill Kirk and the rest of his crew, rest of the landing party, unless you, come down and beam down and surrender yourself to us." And Kirk says, "Well, you don't understand.
I'm going to destroy this planet if you don't let us go." So yeah. It's like, who wants to shoot first?
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. So they're too far because they're going to fire on the Enterprise, and they realize they're out of range for their weapons, but Enterprise can still hit them with their phasers. So Kirk's got the upper hand.
as Kirk always does when he's surrounded.
And then at the last minute, Kirk takes a jump at one of the guards, steals the just one of the disruptors.
And then somehow flails around, knocking out the rest of them.
Yeah, it's a great...
Gets them under phaser fire. Spock comes in, and he's like, oh, I thought you needed help. And Spock's like, and Kirk's like, I do need help.
I do need help.
But thank you.
Yeah, but thanks for thinking of me. And so they send the rest of everyone out. They bring one of the council members in.
It's like, hey, which one breaks everything?
Yeah.
We don't have the budget to shoot every machine, so we need to shoot one that'll destroy them all.
So Kirk,
one ring.
One shot to destroy them all. So Kirk shoots the computers. Computers all blow up.
I love it. Like, get against the walls. Like, why do computers have C4 in them or something that makes them explode? Shouldn't they just, like, break?
It's TOS. The 60s. They didn't know how computers would be.
They all have, like, bombs in them. I can't get to the airport because your computer's a bomb. I'm sorry. Good thing we don't live in Star Trek world.
And then
it'd be hell to get this airport security with a computer.
There's C4. So, yeah,
this will blow up.
C4 in all your laptops and all your iPads.
We can't let you bring this on the plane.
So after that, Anon 7's like, what have you done? We're all going to die now. Do you know what you're going to done? And Kirk's like, well, now's your chance to pick up the phone and start talking to your enemies and see if they want to
not kill each other,
you know. And Ambassador Fox says that he will stay behind and try to help with the negotiations, which is probably the best thing Fox has said since
the entire episode.
Yeah. And they kind of leave from there, and they're like, how did you know that was going to work? And he says, well, either way, they're going to kill each other. So, like, if it was with real bombs or the computers, so either way, it was going
to... You know, might as well, at least this way, they might be scared enough to try
right.
and talk.
So that's the episode.
Yeah. And then you had, like, the obligatory weird Spock moment where Spock kind of, like, raises his
eyebrow. Because he goes, you almost make me... Spock says to Kirk, you almost make me want to believe in luck. And he says, why, Mr. Spock? You almost make me believe in miracles. And, like, Spock's like, what?
You almost expect to laugh, the whole crew laugh, but they decided not to put the whole crew laugh in this.
They didn't do that laugh, no. But they did do that a couple times, like Galloway 7.
Yeah, it's like, oh, a whole bunch of people died, but let's have a big laugh at the end.
Yeah. All right, so that's the episode in a nutshell.
So, Natalie, why'd you...
You picked this one. Let's hear your ideas, why you like this or why you want to talk about this.
You know, I just thought it was a really interesting concept. You know, like the... Find the planet and the people aren't actually fighting. You know, they're using computers, which right. I think we can all kind of relate to in this day of age as computers become more integrated into our lives.
Right, right. That's true.
Yeah.
I kind of, when I watched it, all these thoughts came to my mind, like, you know, drone warfare.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a computer. I mean, like, I watched that documentary on drones on Netflix where they basically
right.
they get gamers and they recruit gamers to, like, pilot drones because they're right. used to it. And then they're just like, oh, it's just, you know. But then they get shell shock from because all they do is go to some kind of bunker and they log in their flight time and kill people, and then they just go home, and they have to do it again the next day. Like,
well, yeah. The weird thing is they go home, and they sit down with their wife and kids, and they have dinner and stuff like that, and they're like, I just killed, like, six people last night or something like that.
Yeah, it's wild. It's the next step, too. I mean, right. totally computerized.
Well, and they in this obviously, they have anesthetized it enough that it's like, you know, people are just walking into the blind obedience to walk
in. Because our culture will survive.
It's everyday life now.
Right. You just walk into the post office to get killed, you know, kind of thing.
That's how I feel when I walk into the post office. I'm just going to kill me.
Kill me. Kill me. Can I have a book of stamps?
No.
Oh, my God.
I have to pick up the mail that they didn't decide to deliver to my house. Thanks.
Do they do that to you?
I have to go to the post office. Anytime I order something bigger than a piece of mail, I have to go to the post office.
Oh, see, I never had that issue.
I hate my life.
I never
had that. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, so that's one of those things that's just like the blind obedience to walk into something. Obviously, like,
But 500 years, like, this is like oh, you got like little Johnny is 2 years old. One day you're going to have to walk into a disintegrator, probably.
Right.
It's like, it's just like, you know, it's ingrained in their society.
It's just you grow up a normal faucet of their lives.
Yeah. I mean, if you grow up thinking certain things.
It's like we're at war. You could die at any second. And, and when you die, you have to walk into a disintegration chamber. It's like they teach you that death happens before you die.
Or that death is part of your patriotism to your planet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's such an interesting.
I have a strong, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm a Star Trek fan, so I have a strong aversion to blind obedience to warfare. You know, a lot of people get like, oh, I'm going to die for my country. I mean, yes, there's a place and time for that, but I think a lot of people just like to hype that up so much, and I get like aggravated a little bit. Like it's like. Yes, if you're in warfare and you're trying to help your fellow comrades, but some people just think that's everything and all things. Like, it's like human life is more than that. To me, it is.
And I wanted to say we're in an enlightened age.
No,
but I can't say that. I can't say that in good faith. But we are in an age where there is technically less war. In our lifetime than there has been on a global scale for human history.
Human history, where violence has gone down dramatically.
It goes down dramatically as we progress technologically.
Right.
I mean, World War I and World War II were probably some of the worst times recently, but I mean, it's been a long time. So hopefully things will continue in that trend, and maybe one day we can get to that Star Trek ideal where...
Right.
There's no war.
Well, Dave, you saw this episode, and what was your ideas when you saw this? Anything?
Well, when Natalie brought it up to me, we've been talking for like about a month now. Mm-hmm. When she brought this up, something that stuck out to me was I just remembered it was the computers were waging war, and I'm just like, as a gamer, it just made me think like in games, people always try to play the system. They always look for exploits and always look for bugs, always try to, like, you know, break the game, you know, as it were. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, they say it's not a game, but this is a computer game. Like, what if the other side is cheating? And how would you know if you're not really monitoring what's going on? All you do is respond to what's happening on the computer. But are you checking to see if they're playing by the rules of this war?
Right.
Like, you know, like, are they exploiting something? I mean, like, I definitely feel it's an exploit. They could take out the Enterprise in one shot.
Well,
I mean, like, it just doesn't seem like a realistic thing.
Well, true, and then not just that.
Especially with a neutron bomb.
Going along with your thought was, you know, Anna and Seven says, my wife just died last month in an attack. And I'm like, did she die or did you stack the deck because you got sick of your wife?
or that. Like, what? I mean, what?
He didn't seem that too broken up about it.
Yeah, he wasn't very emotional about it.
He wasn't, and he seemed
like an opportunist through this whole episode.
The thing is, I think the council. He says the council never talks to each other, but I'm pretty sure the councils do talk to each other, and that the councils are the only people who are immune to death because
maybe. They didn't really say that.
No, Mia died.
Well, she was going to die.
Mia was going to die, but she was with the entire council.
Right.
So the council is immune. Kirk is immune. Because they said Kirk wasn't in play. How was Mia in play? Was she just at the right? I think.
Isn't it like a lottery? They just get a number and like so your serial number got pulled up by the computer. It's like, Mia, you're gone.
I don't know. I mean, I just feel like there's lots of stacking the deck. This could be an interesting movie. Like if they like really like. Delved into it deeper and like maybe did some of some of the deceitful stuff. Like this is how they kill their own people that they don't like by using this quote unquote war.
We're going back, whatever it was, a couple months back when we covered the.
God, I just hope next... Trump doesn't get this. Good grief!
No disintegration chambers. The when we talked about Next Generation episode Justice, where if you break a law, and they
Natalie goes, <"Ugh." laughs> rolling her eyes. You don't like all the sexy people in skimpy clothes?
Sexy. But like,
will they play patty cake all day long?
Where you just, if you break the smallest rule and those enforcers are in that district at that time, they. Lethal injection right there. That's it. You know, there's no.
It's painless, except for some lethal injections, super painful.
Except you die. I don't know if I'm going to go.
You know, I wanted to be fast.
The Edo should have had disintegration chambers given to them by their god instead of
Yeah. I want to be fast. If you're gonna kill me, just make it real quick.
Yeah, you know? I don't want the lethal injection. That sounds bad.
I don't know if it's fast. What if it's like you trip balls and then you die.
Oh, like just like a huge like a heroin or something.
Yeah, like you're just like super high on heroin, and then all of a sudden the other drug kicks in, and you're like, I don't know.
But then you can't tell your trip about anyone. What's the point of being high if you can't tell your trip?
Well,
you can't share your trip with people.
That's a good point. maybe you can like document it somehow.
Mental implants. So, oh, this is what it's like when someone dies. Oh, wow. And then maybe more people will like try to commit suicide if that's the truth.
Oh, God. Because we're talking to Natalie, I just thought about the movie. Because I can't remember the name of the movie right now. Natalie Wood's last movie that she died on. She did this movie where they could record their brain. They record their brain, what's going on in the brain. And she, Natalie Wood's character, dies at the end of it. And she records her dying. And you see her going into heaven and there's angels around her and stuff like that. It's really wild. Huh. It's early 80s movie. It's a good movie. It's probably super dated now. I haven't seen it since whenever. Like probably.
Oh, is it a Brainstorm?
Brainstorm. Yes, that's exactly what it is. She died on the Natalie Wood.
Ugh. The actress died when she was in the film?
Yeah, she drowned.
Yeah, she died in a mysterious accident.
Yeah, she drowned. Yeah, there was Natalie Wood. What a beautiful woman.
She wasn't related to the Lees in any way, because they like dying in their films too.
No, she's kind of.
Oh, she was in that film with Louise Fletcher.
What, in the Brainstorm?
Yeah, Kai Winn. Maybe it was Kai Winn.
I wouldn't put it past Kai Winn.
Was she in there?
Louise Fletcher.
She was in that movie? God, she must have been super young. She must have been super young.
I wonder if she still had like that horrible like looks like a.
Honestly, it's been so long since I've thought of Brainstorm, and just because we're talking about the subject and I'm thinking about Natalie talking with us right now, I thought of Natalie Wood because I named my daughter after Natalie Wood because I love Natalie Wood. So,
oh,
my,
that's sweet.
Yeah. But I didn't, I haven't thought of this movie forever. So,
wow.
Anyways,
seen that. I'll have to look it up.
You're probably going to regret watching it because it's probably super dated.
Yeah, I watch a lot of stuff.
All right. Well, you're watching TOS episodes, so, but.
Yeah.
Those hold up.
As dated as that.
But those hold up, and with the special effects they were added to, they hold up really good. This episode, like that Matt Payton, I'm guessing that was totally redone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because they had
it was.
The moving monorails and the people in the background. That looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they just stare at that blue wall. I'm just like, what?
Well, they had to look at something.
It's like, but. I don't know. It's just such a weird move.
It's
where everyone looks at that wall when they beam down.
Such a 60s look. Talking about 60s looks.
What did you think of the episode after seeing?
First of all, I just want to talk Robert Fox's outfit. I mean,
it's like a proto Packlet outfit.
What is going on with that outfit? I love that giant collar, and he's got like that.
It goes around his shoulders.
He's got that lacing that's like on there, and it's kind of that green. It almost looks like it's made of curtains, but it's not. So it's very 60s.
It's probably made out of couch. A lot of Star Trek uniforms are made out of couch.
It could have been made out of cut up couch, but I just love that little lacing on there. Oh my God.
Especially like Romulans and TOS. I mean, TNG.
Yeah.
They look like just wearing the most uncomfortable couch, you know, cushioning or.
Right,
like
just, right. Yeah. It was
awful.
With the spikes on it.
Yeah. It's like Romulan toilet paper with spikes.
Oh. I got to talk to the prefect about that.
That's why they're always so angry. Maybe that's how they got those forehead ridges. They were just cringing.
They're so angry.
They're cringing so much from their wiping, spiked toilet paper.
From the wiping on the toilet paper.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But yeah, so besides his outfit and as I said off mic, but the guards look like the presidential candidate, Vermin Supreme, with the boot on his head. That's the first thing I thought about. they're just the uniforms look so goofy. I mean, we've seen those hats on before, like.
But the thing is, the hats change when you first see them. Mm-hmm. Before you know they're bad guys, they're like a cylinder. They're like a straight up cylinder coming off their head. Then as soon as they turn evil, they turn into points. Mm. Like their hats change as the episode goes on.
What's the one where they're in the with the Klingons fighting over the planets? Let That Be Your Last Battlefield. That's the other one. That's the guys with the different faces. Oh God, I can't think of it right now. But anyways, yeah, I've seen hats like that in the original series more than once. Maybe not exactly like that, but very similar.
Yeah, I think the one with the bad makeup. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, not that one. That's Day of the Dove.
Are you talking about the one with Kor?
Not
with the Orkinians?
No, that's the Mercy something.
Aaron of Mercy.
Aaron of Mercy. I'm thinking the one where they're on the planet and there's like they're in a medieval area where they have these like bullwhips or
Yeah.
And the one girl's pregnant and McCoy has to deliver the baby.
Oh, I haven't seen that one so long.
Yeah.
I just can't. What
is that? And she keeps smacking him. It's like, stop smacking me.
I know. She's smacking McCoy constantly. McCoy's getting bitch slapped constantly. Like, God damn it. I'm trying to deliver your baby.
Deliver the baby yourself. You're going to hit me. Come on. I'm going to leave. Just have fun bleeding out when you deliver this baby on this rock.
Well, then he has to. And then, like, she won't give birth until. Like he says it's his baby or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She's like holding the
baby. I'm going to hold it in.
Hold it in.
It's like Arrested Development where the youngest one was like in utero for like 10, 11 months. God. That's why he's special.
That's why he's special. It's hilarious. Yeah,
like as someone that's given birth, I don't know how she's doing it.
You can't hold it in.
Like a superwoman or something.
It's like when you really got to go to the bathroom really bad, you're going to hold it in. It's like it's 10
times. I'm holding that baby in for another 2 months.
It's like.
It's good extra cooked.
It's like 100 times worse. Like,
it's like 1,000.
Yeah, it's like it is not. You cannot stop it. It is coming out. Like she must have like the uterine walls of like the Hulk or something like that.
She Hulk.
Yeah, crush that.
She's got some strong lady muscles.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
She's holding it in.
Well, anyway, so yeah, Vermin Supreme hats on all those guards.
Which yes,
were ridiculous. I like Scotty in command. I think we got a good Scotty episode. We don't get a lot of Scotty.
I want to see Scotty in command and the one of the JJ reboots. They've put the Sulu in command. It's time for Scotty to be in command. I want to see Simon Pegg in command of the Enterprise.
That'd be cool. I'd like.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That'd be nice. Yeah. So I like we saw a little more Scotty than we normally do.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to get like snippets of Scotty.
At least it's not Wolf in the Fold.
Oh. Oh. Not that episode.
Maybe we'll have to do that one soon.
Let's skip that one. That and Empath.
Kind of like we're skipping Square of Gothos.
Yeah. Oh, there's a couple TOS ones we were doing, not doing. all right, so that, but then obviously just the whole dilemma of the computers, the blind obedience of going into disintegration chambers, the idea of a computer-led warfare with the, you know, you've made the war so painless. Other than people just dying, and it's a way of life now that people don't think of it.
They don't think of it all. They're holding on so hard to their culture. Our culture must survive. Our culture of just dying, rolling over and taking it.
Well,
like
I just. Mean, but the thing is, if you had a real war, things would be bombed out. You couldn't build things. People would get like sick and get diseased because of water and stuff would be terrible because they couldn't do purifications. So,
but I love how that's Kirk's point.
No, that's exactly his point.
I love how that's his point. It's like you've made war too clean. Like if you're going to be at war, you should be at war for real. You should want to end this. It's too clean. You don't want to end it.
So what happens when America, you know, has basically Terminator robots that we can like, you know, have a guy behind with a joystick controlling it, and they can just march on a battlefield. And
it's coming. I mean, it's probably coming. I mean, they've already got the robots who like.
It's like know, some people don't like the drone
mines.
Some people don't like drone warfare because they don't think it's fair. Because it's like, but I don't see how it's fair. Period. Because if you're in a fighter plane, you're still dropping bombs on people.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I guess if the fighter plane gets shot down, it's a life lost. I guess, okay. But I mean,
wow.
I mean, but it's still just a life.
Yeah.
Now they've just taken it out so that no one dies when the, or, you know, when the drone gets shot down. But I'm just like, I don't know. It's,
I don't know. This episode actually seemed a lot more closer to our, I mean, maybe we're not quite there. I mean, obviously we don't have disintegration chambers, but we're in that kind of like mindset where, you know, warfare is something that's not, we don't know about it. You know, I mean, we're currently at war right now, and like
we've been at war for what, a decade or two now?
More than a decade. Since 2001.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, we've been at war for that long, and it's like we don't really feel the impact, really. I mean, there are soldiers out there right now fighting as we speak, and we don't really think about it. Well, you know?
Yeah, but
it's not like we're
as quite, America. We need to get our nose out of everyone else's business. So,
that might be
so we're not at war all the time. But
well, that might be true too. But I mean, we're not fighting like a Hitler threat. We're fighting, you know, these basically ISIS type characters who are, you know,
that we keep creating.
Yeah, but they're
kind of like, you know, Vietnam. That was kind of the start of.
Right.
This type of warfare that we're currently
which is like they're considered what, military actions or police actions? They're not war, quote unquote. I'm right. Like, oh, they're police actions. I'm like, that's BS. It's war. I mean, we're fighting. People are killing each other. That's kind of what war is.
Yeah. Right. And it's just one of those things that it's just when it, you know, you read the, you know, what's going on in the world, and you're like, it seems so far in distance. And you know, there, you know, and I have family members that have, you know, served in, you know, the Air Force and the Army.
And my brother's in the Army Guard.
Yeah. I mean, it's like these people definitely, you know, have to go and do their, you know, they go serve their country, and it's not easy for them. And it's mm-mm. Like, but we're not privy to that. We don't know anything about it because we're not in that world. I mean, it's not like there's no, I mean, I'm too old now for the draft. If there ever was a draft, I mean, they'd have to be probably invading America for calling me up.
Probably. But I mean, still, we've got drones. Why do we need to call people when we can just drone people?
Good. Yeah, drone people, or you can have, you know, the Terminator TS. T-1000. So
the T-1000. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Or whatever we have nowadays. I mean, they have all these. I see all the robots that they have.
According to the last podcast on the left, remember they had that episode where they were getting those emails that came in, that one guy was from the military. He's like, oh, yeah, we've got these crazy mech suits that we're working on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
yeah,
I know.
That are like, he's like, yeah, these things are like crazy. They can take out tanks by themselves. And like,
I'm sure we're going to be seeing some like crazy stuff in the next, you know, 10 to 20 years. We're going to start seeing some really nutty stuff. So
yeah. Sounds like an anime.
Yeah.
Mech suits.
I want to live in that world.
They're giant. They knock over city buildings. It's like, no!
No, no.
It's like Pacific Rim is coming to life.
I know. Yeah, or Man of Steel, where just the cities get destroyed. I'm trying to save you, but I'm just destroying everything.
I just want Voltron. That's what I want. Get the lions. They make the Voltron fly. I mean, I don't know. If you have Netflix, that is an awesome cartoon.
I watched part of the first season.
Pretty good. Pretty fun.
It's pretty good.
I watched the old one.
I used to watch the old one too, and I didn't. I saw it came up, and I watched it, and I was like, "Wow, this is wonderful." And they're in season two now, so.
I've heard it's really good. I haven't gotten around to watching it yet.
It's worth watching, and it's funny too. There's a lot of little funny parts into it, so it's a good show.
I just got sidetracked with Supernatural. I watched.
Yeah, you went deep down that rabbit hole.
I watched. I watched like half of the first season of Voltron. I watched half of Luke Cage, and then I started watching Supernatural. And I've not watched pretty much anything
else. You haven't dug out of that.
I'm on the last season that's on Netflix. Like, so remember when Luke Cage came out? That's when I started.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah,
man, Luke Cage.
I'm super into Supernatural now.
I guess.
I'm watching a. Star Trek, the original series right now.
Cool. I'm glad you're talking to us. No, that
again. I mean, you know, I've seen it before, but.
How much do you watch Star Trek? I mean, you watch all the episodes, like, I mean, all this different series?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tend to go by series. So, was it? I think it was the year before I was watching Enterprise again. And Deep Space Nine, because I was trying to get ready for this Star Trek quiz.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Which which my team won, by the way, so that was awesome.
When was that? Was that the same time as the
karaoke?
Karaoke?
Oh, no, this was in, this is actually before I met Jerrica formally. this was in 2015.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So,
what was the prize?
It was cash. It was a, I don't know if you guys have Geeks Who Drink bar trivia.
No, but we should.
Around your area.
We should.
We should head that up here.
We should head that up.
If I ever... it's like a, it's a nationwide trivia, I guess, company, organization.
Okay.
And, they're not in every state yet, but there's a lot of venues out here in the Seattle area. And, they do themed quizzes every once in a while.
Okay.
So that was the, Star Trek theme quiz.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And my team won the Seattle one, so that was pretty awesome.
That's great.
Although, it'd be funny if we went together and we lost, because like whenever we were doing the Nerds in the Round Table, whenever I asked you something for Star Trek, I just needed you to tell me something because I was like,
well,
halfway
Dave,
drunk.
Like I said, we're like a married couple. It's like married couples don't know shit about each other. Like, I married you for some reason. I don't know why anymore.
For your Star Trek knowledge, why can't you fill it in mine?
Yeah, my husband actually was not on the Star Trek team. I made him watch The Baby.
Oh yeah,
does he hasn't seen enough of it.
Does he watch Star Trek a lot, or is it just something you?
It's something that I grew up watching it because my dad grew up watching it. So right. My dad was actually on the team. That was fun.
Did he kick ass?
But yeah, some of my earliest memories are watching reruns of the original series and TNG when it was first on the air.
Nice.
Yeah, I grew up with Star Trek. My dad grew up with it. And so, like, some of my earliest memories, too, just watching Star Trek on television. Yeah. I remember being excited for the original The Next Generation coming out and
right.
Eating nothing that Cheerios so I can get those die-cast metal Enterprises.
A lot of Cheerio boxes.
A lot of Cheerio boxes. Not as many as Guy Davis, but...
Yeah, Guy Davis did a lot.
Guys are other co-hosts sometimes. And his mom bought him enough Cheerio boxes to, like, get all the stickers, and he's sick. He cannot eat Cheerios
because he ate so many damn Cheerios.
Oh, no.
And we told him not to visit Buffalo and go to the waterfront at night because we have a General Mills factory,
yeah,
and you could smell Cheerios at night. We warned him that might bring back trigger some memories.
I know. Having convulsions on the street.
But yeah, I think my first PG-13 movie I saw in theaters was Star Trek First Contact.
Really?
Oh, my first one was 4, I think.
Your first movie was 4?
And the theaters, I think. Oh,
cool.
I think I saw Generations in theaters, but I think... Yeah, Star Trek First Contact would have been my first PG-13 rated movie.
Oh, nice.
Because I was dating myself here. I was about 7, I think, when that came out.
Oh, wow. Well, my dad was going to take my mom to see Braveheart back in the day, but my mom's mom was visiting, and she doesn't like violence in movies. And so she basically scolded my mom for wanting to go see it with dad. And so my dad just got mad and took me and my brother. And Braveheart being rated R, I was like not even 13. My brother is like a year and a half younger than me.
That's not a bad age. You could handle it that age.
Well, yeah, but it was like, you know.
He's
like,
disemboweled in the end, whatever.
Well, no, but like the sex scenes in the movie, it's like.
I forgot about
it's like, oh, yeah. It's the first time I've seen nudity in a movie. And like my dad's here. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this.
I have a boner, but I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what.
That was awkward. Really awkward.
That's extremely awkward.
Because I'm like 12 or maybe 13 at the time.
Yeah, yeah. I think my first. I could have been my first movie. Could have been the first Star Wars. I can't remember. I was really young. I think my parents took me to see that, so I was just a wee lad.
A wee lad.
Maybe 4. I can't remember. What was it, 78?
77.
77? Yeah. I would have been 3.
Yeah, because I would probably be like 3 or 4 when Star Trek 4 came out, so like that's just on the cusp of being able to remember stuff.
And I remember seeing the original Superman movie with Christopher Reeve.
Oh, yeah.
That was 78.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
That is a really good movie. That's a movie that it doesn't hold up as well, but it's still probably the most serious superhero movie at the time. Like, yeah. You see it, and they actually put effort to make it into a good movie. It wasn't like a cheeseball movie, you know? I mean, there's cheesy moments in it.
It's way better than Man of Steel, like, story plot-wise, acting-wise.
Christopher Reeve was a really good actor. I mean, that he could be Superman, be so convincing, but then Clark Kent and be such a bumbling idiot.
Yeah, Christopher Reeve was really good,
you know,
in the role. But yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Man of Steel, not great. I want Wonder Woman to be good. I want it to be so good, and the trailers look good. But then again, Man of Steel trailers look good. Batman vs. Superman trailers look good. Suicide Squad trailers look good, so I can't, you know, I'm losing hope.
Yeah, I'm still excited for Aquaman. That's all I'm going to say. I'm a huge Aquaman fan, and I never thought I would ever see Aquaman in a movie. I mean, my whole life, Aquaman got shit on forever, so it was like, this is a movie where
Aquaman.
Yeah. And I don't care if people don't like him. It's just one of those things that is like, I just never thought I'd ever see a movie with Aquaman
in it. With Jason Momoa playing him, everyone's going to like Aquaman. Like my coworker.
Jason Momoa?
Yeah, I call him Mimosa.
Mimosa.
I could drink of that.
I'd have a long, cold drink of Mimosa.
Most people would, because he's pretty ripped and pretty hot.
He's a good-looking guy. You can't deny that.
And then
that.
Calling him Mimosa, too, that just sweetens the deal. But, my coworker was we were talking about it, and it was just funny. He's like, after Justice League comes out, everyone's going to come out and be Aquaman fans. Like, oh, yeah, I was an Aquaman fan. Like, it's all these fake Aquaman fans are going to come out.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because Jason Momoa is doing it. And he's, you know, he was so good as Khal Drogo and Game of Thrones. And
I hate when he died. Pissed me off so much.
Yeah.
I read the book, so kind of saw it coming.
Saw it coming, but like, he was really mean in the books, though. Meaner in the books.
Yeah, everyone's a little meaner in the books.
But yeah, he's a good actor. He's really hot, and he the way the couple lines he has in the trailer makes him look like he's going to be kind of funny too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I think Justice League's going to bring out a whole bunch of fake Aquaman fans.
Well, I have a ton of old Aquaman comics that I can put everyone to shame. So I have such a large.
You are a legit Aquaman fan.
I have so many old Aquaman comics. It's actually embarrassing. I go through it. I'm embarrassed with myself. I'm like, why did I buy this many Aquaman? Nobody needs that many Aquaman issues.
You just really love the orange and green.
I do kind of like it with the orange and green with a blue background. That's kick ass.
It does really stand out.
Yeah. You know they pick those colors for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it does. So
just like
I always had a fondness for Aquaman because I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was younger. And
Thank you, Natalie. I did too. I wanted to be a marine biologist. I thought it was cool. So
to the sea animal. That was cool.
But because of my poor education, they wouldn't let me into any colleges. So, sorry, sir, you failed everything but your name.
But speaking of specific colors, that's why they picked the colors in TOS, all those bright, different uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first show. It's one of the first shows ever aired in color.
It still works for me.
Yeah.
I see those costumes like, yeah. I don't know if I told you about this, but like The Simpsons, one of the reasons The Simpsons is rated so highly that people love it is they say they gave a survey. It's the colors, the bright colors. That's why most people tune in to The Simpsons.
That's really weird.
So it's like, it's not the comedy. It's not the characters. It's the colors.
It's just so
we're such dumb animals.
We are such dumb animals.
We're
like
visual beings.
Yeah.
It's like I had another argument at work. It's just like I just really.
You have so many arguments at work.
I do, because the security guard always likes to argue with me.
Security guard, you do not work here, sir. Stop coming into this gate.
Yeah, we just get in our. He just likes to argue.
I love that.
But it's just like, you know, he hates Star Trek. He's like, Star Trek's boring. It's stupid. I'm like, no, Star Trek is great. And like, there's more to life than blinky lights. Like in Star Wars, everything's like blinky lights and explosions.
What's that light?
And I'm just like, there's more. He's like, Star Wars is good. Star Trek is stupid. I'm like, no, they're both good, but Star Trek is better. He's like, no. I'm like, no, Star Trek is better. There's something to think about. It feeds your brain. It's not just flashy lights for the dumb drooling masses.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see that video that was going around recently where it was like a little animated video and it was like, you know, it's Star Wars better than Star Trek or something like
that? Darth Vader and Picard arguing?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I think that's been on our group once or twice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
And like, it's not the point. And like, it's exactly what it is. It's like, it's not the special effects aren't the point.
I don't have a problem with Star Wars whatsoever, as everyone knows. It's one of those things that, but it's like, you can't, I think people think of Star Wars as dumb because they think of the original series being kind of a corny old show.
Yeah.
And they don't, if you give it half a chance, which we've had people guest on who've never watched it before, we pick an episode and they're like, wow, it's actually pretty enjoyable.
And watchable.
Yeah. So it's too bad if people don't give it a break, you know. And they should, you know.
They really should.
I mean,
lots of worthwhile stuff in there.
There is, and it's good storytelling. He's like, stories don't matter. If you want stories, read a book. And I'm like, what? Why? Like, anything televised or in movie should have a good story in it.
I'm sorry, even like for me, I'm a huge comic book fan. If a story sucks, I will stop reading it.
Yeah.
I love the art side of comics. If it has great art and a bad story, I might not ever pick that book up again because I just can't put myself through the story. So,
most definitely.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, this was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was so good. Thank you, Natalie, for bringing it up, because it's such a great episode.
Yeah, I haven't thought about this episode, and I was thinking about why I was skipping it. I can't really tell you why. I kept on going, maybe just because I don't get to watch.
Like, you thought there was better stuff, so you probably just thought.
No, it's more because I'm always, like we were saying, we're always like watching for the podcast. We're always like, okay, I got to go to this episode. I got to watch this one and stuff like that. So a lot of times I like skip over stuff because I don't get a chance to watch it. So I really enjoyed going back to this, and I hadn't seen it.
It's funny. It's at this point where we're beginning our third year. It's like, thank you for recommending these episodes. We haven't seen them in such a long time. Thank you.
I know.
That's the thing with Trek. You know, there's so much content that sometimes you just kind of forget about stuff.
Tons of stuff.
And then like we said a couple episodes ago, it's like we used to watch Star Trek for fun before we watched the show. We started doing the podcast, but because the podcast takes up so much of our time, it's just like we just get to watch the episodes for the show. That's the Star Trek we watch now.
Right.
Natalie, like you do cosplay and stuff. Do you have any like upcoming conventions that you're gonna be at?
Oh yeah, there's the biggest anime convention in the area is coming up. It's called a SakuraCon, or SakuraCon is. People like to pronounce it both ways. Okay.
SakuraCon, that could give people the wrong impression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sakura, like a cherry blossom.
I was thinking like soccer, the sport.
Yeah.
Oh, soccer. Yeah. SakuraCon. Not quite.
Lots of red and black and white checkers. Red cards and blue, red cards and yellow cards. It's like, oh, you can't do that. You have to leave the con now.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be there?
I am going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to be cosplaying.
And do cosplayers announce their costumes, or is that like a secret reveal?
Oh, yeah, no. Well, some people like to keep it a surprise. Other people like to post. So I'm going to be doing three different anime cosplays for the anime con, though some people do branch out of anime for that convention.
Are you one of those people that like to keep it under wraps, or do you want to tell anybody what you're going to?
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I can tell you what I'm cosplaying as. So, let's see, on Friday, I'm going to be Sailor Venus from the show Sailor Moon.
Cool.
Which is the orange one. If you can't remember.
I didn't remember, but I remembered the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
is she orange and green like Aquaman?
She should be.
No, she's orange and blue and yellow. There is a green Sailor Guardian though.
Ah.
And then on Saturday I'm going to be a character from Tenchi Muyo, which is kind of an older anime.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
Used to be on Toonami.
No.
Back in
Too bad Guy's not here. He'd know everyone.
Yeah, Guy would know because he does a lot of the Denver anime cons.
He's real big in anime. I know.
And he spent time in Japan.
Yeah, he lived in Japan for a while too. So, I mean, I like anime, but I just don't. I'm not up on all the anime. There's so much anime.
There's a ton of anime.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. It's I can't even keep up with it.
That's
all.
A rabbit hole you could fall into.
Well, as
forever.
A fan, just quick, as a fan of anime, are you familiar with Excel Saga?
A little bit. It's not what it's like when I've heard of, but I haven't watched it.
Oh, you need to watch Excel Saga. We had Vic Mañana on, like a little.
Oh,
over,
yeah, Vic's actually going to be at SoccerCon.
Oh. Well, like you need to get like you need to buy the Excel Saga DVDs if you can find them, and bring the third one to him because he voiced a character in one episode of the series, and he loves it when people bring out Excel Saga. I found a video online of someone bringing an Excel Saga disc to sign. He got so excited about it. I brought one to him when he was at Fan Expo Canada, and I went there, and he was pretty excited about the. Because I think not enough people really bring it up because it was such a small role, but apparently he had a good time with it.
Cool.
Oh,
I would love to see. I also love to see people cosplay Excel or Hyatt because I love those characters in the anime.
And what are you for the last day then?
Oh, so for the last day, I'm going to be. I don't know if you're familiar with the anime manga Ranma One Half. It's like the
I've heard of that one.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the guy that turns into a girl. When he gets splashed with cold water.
I actually have heard of this.
The girl version?
Yeah.
I've heard of this before. I've never seen it, but I've heard of it. Yeah, that's crazy. So how do you dress
really
like that?
Funny.
How do you dress like
that? I'm sorry. Oh, it's like a kind of a Chinese-inspired martial arts uniform. But when he's a girl, he has red hair. So I'm going to be wearing like a red-haired wig.
Okay. Cool.
And you're part of our group, so you feel free to like post some of the stuff
and post
some of your
know.
Convention stuff, like your times and your pictures and stuff. You can throw them in our group. We love all kinds of stuff.
Did
I take some pictures with Jerrica? Post some pictures to the group.
Yeah,
she's gonna be there too.
Jerrica's in the group too. She let her know she can post stuff there too.
Now when you set up your costumes, like how long does it take you to actually make those costumes?
It depends. Like, my Sailor Venus one, I kind of rushed that one.
Is that hard to, I mean, cause that's, I mean, those are kind of like the costumes are all sort of similar, right? They don't really change too much besides the colors and stuff, correct?
Yeah. But I was making it from scratch and I hadn't made one before on my own. So I needed a friend's help and it was like, night before the convention, still working on the costume.
Just like back in college, that last paper. Finish
exactly.
That paper.
All my Bengers.
Oh, man. Finish
and
that.
And I'm still actually working on my Saturday costume, which is a schoolgirl uniform. So hoping to get that finished pretty soon.
And do you have any other cons you're attending?
Yeah. I typically go to Geek Girl Con in October. It's in Seattle.
Okay.
I haven't gone to a lot of the summer conventions, but I am actually going to the D23 Expo at Disneyland in July this year.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
It's like the Disney Con.
Is that, are you doing anything special for the Disney one?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be wearing, it's the Blue Fairy from Pinocchio.
Okay.
Which I just recently wore to Emerald City Comic Con.
Awesome. How was Emerald City, by the way?
It's really big. That's the biggest convention by far in the state.
Right. No, I mean, I see things for Emerald City all the time.
Yeah. I did get to, I got a picture with, Gates McFadden, Beverly Crusher this
year.
That's
awesome. So sweet.
That was pretty cool. But yeah, they haven't had as many Star Trek guests recently as they have in past years. So I've been kind of miffed about that.
Especially the Star Trek, like, they're getting like a little bit older. Like I just saw that like Troy turned like 60-something.
62.
I mean, she looks great.
She
looks great for 62. Still. But still, I mean, it's like, you know, maybe at that age you just don't feel like going to cons anymore. You know.
Then they're pretty much contractually obligated, more or less, to go to STLV. So maybe they don't want to go to the other cons as much, since STLV is always huge and it's getting bigger. Last year was a 5-day con. This year it's going to be a 5-day con too.
I was actually going to meet Carl Urban at Rose City Comic Con last year, but he ended up canceling. So I was very
that stinks. But Yeah, I mean, we don't have really big cons in Buffalo. We've had the Buffalo Comic Con for years and years and years, and it was in a dinky little hotel. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago was the first time it was actually in our convention center.
Yeah.
Last mm-hmm. year, a new con started in Buffalo called Nickel City Con, and this year's its second year, and they're already pulling out way bigger guests than our Buffalo Comic Con. I mean, because this year we've got Billy Dee Williams, we've got William Shatner, and we've got Nichelle Nichols. Like, I'm so excited that they're going to be local enough for me to go be able to see them.
Sitting on all their laps.
Be careful with Nichelle Nichols.
I know. I know.
She can sit on our laps.
She can sit on our laps. Yeah.
We don't want to hurt her.
Much. But I love Nichelle Nichols.
I hope we can get pictures taken together with them all.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome to throw them up together on the...
Do we cosplay for all that?
I don't have anything to cosplay.
Come on.
That's also the thing with Star Trek cosplay is there's either really cheap, you know, Amazon costumes that you can buy pre-made.
Right.
Or there's like the really expensive ones that they sell for, you know, $500 for a tunic.
Yeah, those are ridiculous on Avonos.
Well,
and then they also don't make them in my size because I'm a bigger guy. So.
Well, I think Dave should go as a Klingon. Like the Imperial Klingon.
Well, I've done like I really want to do a Klingon so I can do more cooking with Io.
I have a friend that and I think you've met him before. He back in the day, I mean he did a Klingon uniform. So like you could tap him for knowledge if you ever wanted to do it.
And
he could help you a lot with it and you know how to set it up. Mm-hmm. And I would love to do the Wrath of Khan uniform.
Oh, Monster Maroons?
Yeah,
the Monster Maroon.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. You will be dying, though.
Oh, they're my favorite costume.
Because, like, there's so many layers. The turtleneck and then, like, and it's wool. Like, I've looked up...
Make, like, a fake turtleneck top, you know, so it's just one layer underneath.
But,
yeah.
I mean, the official uniform is made out of wool, so you want something between your skin and the wool, because I don't think wool is going to be the nicest feeling fabric to wear.
Well, do I really want to pick wool?
I probably wouldn't make it out of wool then, to be honest.
Yeah, can't you pick something like a knockoff fabric that's similar to wool?
Oh, totally.
I don't know. I just remember I've looked up the pattern. Me and my girlfriend, we looked up the pattern before. And, like, I think it calls for, like, wool for, like, the Monster Maroon. I'm like, wow.
I have no skills in this. And I have to be honest. When I see people with their costumes, I am thoroughly impressed, but I have no patience for any of it. Like, I see people, like, for Halloween costumes, I just people like, what are you going to be? And all my friends are planning ahead, like, 3 months in advance. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I just don't want to do it. You know,
I would love to have a Klingon uniform, though, because, I mean, I rock the Klingon look. I've been rocking the Klingon facial hair and the long hair for, like, 4 years now, like, ever since you met me.
Yeah.
I rocked the Klingon facial hair for years.
Slap the ridges.
I need some ridges and I need the uniform.
Yeah, you can. I know a guy that makes ridges. He lives in the Midwest.
Well, that's cool.
That's his only job. Could you just imagine that's your job? I just make ridges.
He does a lot of makeup, like kind of prosthetic type. Blah blah blah. Prosthetic type of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he has a shop on Etsy and he sells Klingon ridges and like Bajoran nose ridges.
Wow, nice.
Like Cardassian appliances and stuff. Oh, so
that's gotta be crazy intense to do those.
Oh yeah, like I would love to do like a Cardassian style cosplay, but it's like all those pieces, all that makeup.
No, you should do Gul Dukat's bastard daughter. That way it's like a little bit of ZL. Do a little bit of both.
Oh my gosh. Like,
did she just break out ZL?
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Natalie, you have like, you got my mad respect that you just busted that out. That's awesome.
Because that way you don't have to do the full makeup of anything. Because, I mean, the Cardassian features are way underplayed since she's half Cardassian, half Bajoran. And she's got barely any nose ridge. I mean, you could, like... I mean, if he does the appliances, he'd have to do some, like, custom ones because they're very minimalist.
Oh, yeah. He does custom work, too, which is nice. But, yeah, that's the guy who I got my ridges from.
Now, do you do any Star Trek cosplay?
I've done some Klingon cosplay.
Really? Oh yeah, she said that in the beginning. Yeah, yeah, right.
It might have been before we started.
Did do you do the in like the Imperial like look, or do you do something different?
It's like a TNG style okay. Klingon.
Yeah, that's supposed to be
Imperial. They were.
Yeah.
Like, I've done a couple different outfits, but they were both kind of closet cosplays, just kind of thrown together from already existing clothes. Like, I haven't made the actual full uniform.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a complex uniform. It's not a...
Yeah.
There's a lot of different pieces.
A lot of moving
there's
parts.
There's a lot of different ways you can go.
A lot of moving parts, for sure.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. It's something to think about. I mean, that's what I would... You know, like yeah. I said, I would want to be the maroon.
I would love a set of maroons too, even though I'd know I'd die as soon as I put them on because I get hot way so easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing is you get in a Klingon uniform, you're going to be sweating your nuts off.
I'm
going
to be dying. Yeah,
yeah.
I would love to do that because I don't know if I shared it with you, Natalie, but I did a cooking with EU where I made the Klingon blood wine.
Oh, I don't think I saw that.
Oh, I need to send that to you. I made a – so it's on our YouTube channel for Synthaholics. I made Klingon blood wine. And basically, I let my hair down so it's all everywhere so I look like more like a Klingon. And I made this video because one of the instructions in making blood wine is you have to ignite it. So I thought like that would be a cool thing to show lighting it on fire.
Make sure that Dave does not immolate himself.
yeah. Well, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool if we have to light on fire. I mean, if it doesn't make a fireball, it's still going to look cool. So I wanted to record it. So like, well, how about I record the entire process? And then so my idea was like, oh, I'll pretend to be a Klingon. I'm like, I'm making blood wine.
It's fun. But you should be in full costume for that.
I want to. I'd love to do that.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, something.
I can always once I get a full costume, I can always go back and remake the blood wine.
That's true
because mm-hmm. it's actually a good drink. I wouldn't mind making it again.
Yeah, cool, very nice.
Where can people find you, Natalie, online so they could say hi or follow your work?
Oh yeah, so I'm on Facebook, and granted, I don't use my cosplay page as much as I probably should be using. But it's called Mina P Cosplay. So that's M-I-N-A space P space cosplay.
Cool.
And then I'm on Instagram as Mina P Chan. So it's M-I-N-A underscore P underscore C-H-A-N.
Nice. Awesome. That's cool.
We'll put those in the show notes also.
Yeah. That everyone can
yeah,
see.
And I do a lot of Sailor Moon cosplay, but especially on my Instagram, I like to do a Trek Tuesday, so I'll post something Star Trek related.
Cool. Awesome. Man, I wish Guy was on this episode. Guy would be like the perfect person to talk to.
You said don't get Guy.
don't get Guy. No, I mean it's just
a little logistically difficult when we have multiple people remote.
Yeah, exactly. But Guy knows so much about manga and anime.
Yeah. Well, next time we have you on, we'll try to get Guy in on the loop with you.
Because you guys can talk anime too.
Yeah, because he's you know, Aaron's our comic book guy and our Star Trek guy, and Guy's also a comic book guy, but he's also really big into manga and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm a little bit into it, but I mean, I don't know nearly as much as
and I love anime and I love manga, but I don't know all the B sides. I don't know the B sides.
Yeah, I know like some of the big ones like Ghost in the Shell.
I know the hits.
Vampire Hunter D, Akira. You know,
I love Vampire Hunter D.
I love the first one. The second one got a little bit too melodramatic and like the violence was too toned down. I'm like, I was expecting more from the second one.
Yeah, I think like. But even still, like the second one's animation quality was so good.
It was
so
really good.
I could watch this all day.
I kind of want to like rewatch the second one, maybe with just with the Japanese subtitle or English subtitles with the Japanese, maybe to see if maybe the translation's better. Because I feel like maybe the melodrama was just because of the American translation. Because it just a couple times I'm just cringing because the lines are dialogue so bad. But I'm just wondering if it's just they had to do it because of translation issues or something like that.
I could be wrong, but I think they did do a Japanese. Like I don't like my DVD. I don't think has the Japanese on it for some reason.
Well,
Vampire Hunter D. Blood. Whoa, Dwight Schultz is in that movie. That's crazy.
That's awesome. Star Trek reference from Vampire Hunter D. That's awesome. No, that's I'm glad you said that because I didn't realize Dwight Schultz was in that. I love Dwight Schultz.
Yeah, because my DVD of Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, like, oh, it says here it was released in the U.S. before it was released in Japan, so it probably would have been released with English voices first, which is weird.
That's weird.
Really weird, yeah. Strange.
Oh, so I guess maybe it was originally written in English. That's weird.
Yeah. Oh. But still, with like movies like that, generally everything sounds better in the Japanese.
Yeah. Well, even with Ghost in the Shell, like the American translation and the American voice actors sound so bored. It's so dry.
Yeah.
The Ghost in the Shell anime. I love it. I mean, it's one of the greatest animes in my mind. I mean, the subject matter and, you know, what is life? Mm-hmm. You know, what is existence? It's very Measure of a Man-ish.
Yeah. Right.
In subject exactly. matter. And I love that. I love that concept. But just the voice acting is kind of dry.
Yeah. I recently watched with my kids Princess Mononoke. And,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but they had like a lot of big names do the acting for that. I think Lawrence Fishburne, I think, is in.
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And with Dana Scully.
Gillian Anderson.
Gillian Anderson. She's in it. She plays the wolf god. So, I mean, it's great. Fun movie. But good voice acting for once on the American side. You know, I mean,
they put some high quality talent into it. Yeah.
You know, where a lot of times it's like, all right, you guys asleep or what?
Yeah, and with a lot of the earlier like English voice actors in anime, like they just don't end up sounding that good.
No. Sometimes I wonder if they should just like redo them like with the voices.
That would be awesome if they redo like Ghost in the Shell.
Do Ghost in the Shell, do
original Vampire Hunter D maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched that one in English because I'm scared to, because that movie was released in the 80s.
They're
but,
goofy.
But speaking of like quality voice acting, you really need to listen to CXL Saga and watch it in English because Vic Mignogna is such a good actor, and like the character is a one-off character, and he plays that character more intensely than like anyone else plays their character in that episode. Like Vic Mignogna is just totally on point. In that episode, I loved it. I actually watched that episode before I spoke with him, so I could talk about it with him when awesome. He was on the show.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Cool.
But you can find us at synthaholics.com. On Twitter, we are Synthaholic Duo. Personally, I am David_J_Duncan.
I'm Blackboard2004.
And you can find Guy Davis at GS Davis Art. You can find his other things at USS Tamerlan and Witches of Flame.
Right.
Follow us on Facebook. Join our group.
Definitely join the group. We're always having fun on the group.
Yeah, facebook.com/group/synthaholics. Natalie's part of it. Jerry Condra's part of it. Post funny things. Post your memes. Post your cosplay. Star Trek or not. It's awesome fun.
Absolutely.
We even post science, Star Trek news when we see it.
Sometimes, when it comes up.
Yeah, sometimes there's actual science on our site.
It's I got not faked just goofy out by stuff. by the Dekai run for Congress.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to post anything from today.
Yeah,
George Takei fooled us all.
I wanted to see something good. And
I was scrolling through Facebook today, and I was like, "Why am I scrolling through Facebook today? Nothing here is real."
I stopped myself too. Like yeah, about
I'm
like
just like there's no point.
About like 8 o'clock
because we were recording on April Fool's Day. Just for everyone's knowledge,
right.
At this point, you know. Rate us on iTunes. Give us some stars. Give us some reviews. We really need these desperately so that we can be seen, so other people can find us on the show. We're trying to grow the show, and our show's been more or less kind of steady for 2 years. But this is year three, beginning year three.
Right.
Get out there. Write some reviews. Just say, hey, we like them for this reason. You don't even have to do more than like two sentences. Give us some stars.
Reviews. Stars. That helps people see us more with the Apple iTunes algorithms.
And iTunes is one of the biggest places, you know, where people look for podcasts. And it's really hard to find us if you're just looking for Star Trek. You can find us if you're looking for us by name. But people just looking for Star Trek content may not find us unless we need your guys'
There's
help.
A lot of Star Trek podcasts out there.
There's a ton. So we need your help to get up there so we can be seen.
And if you have a couple bucks you want to throw our way, we have a Patreon at forward slash
Synthaholics. Mm-hmm. And if you want to throw a buck a month, that's nothing. You spend more money on a cup of coffee than that. So, I mean, just to help us to basically keep our lights on, keep a cost down for producing the show. The show is free, obviously, but, you know, it's just something to help us grease the wheels a little bit. Make
grease, the website, the web hosting. And, you know, if we ever get our Patreon big enough, that would enable us to come out to more cons.
You like, can go hang out with Natalie for one of her shows.
Go out to Portland. Go see Natalie. Hang out with her. Maybe we could go down to Star Trek Las Vegas. And that's a big Star Trek con. I mean, it's just difficult for us to get away and be able to afford that just on our regular job. So I mean, if we're able to do that, we would love to if our Patreon ever got that profitable.
Absolutely. And again, as always, if you have any thoughts, any ideas, you can always email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Definitely email us. Let us know anything you want to talk about.
Any requests, any thoughts you had on episodes that we had, any thoughts from any of our guests. We can read those on the air forum.
Or disagreements on something, our takes on it. How you thought about this character, what you said about this.
You can even send in audio clips. If you remember, look back to episode 100. We played audio clips and read emails. If you guys want to be heard, you can be heard. Just send us a clip and we'll play it.
Yeah, most phones have a recording audio, and you just take that clip and just attach it to an email, send it to us, and we'll play it. Definitely. No problem there.
Yeah, we love feedback in any way, shape, or form.
And, of course, if you know somebody who likes Star Trek, who likes sci-fi, maybe point them our direction. Looking for a new podcast? Tell people about podcasts. A lot of people don't even know about podcasts.
Exactly. I mean, even if you don't think they like Star Trek, just recommend a podcast to somebody because, it's still a niche thing, even though they've been around for over a decade, like almost like 2 decades now almost.
Right.
They've been around for a long time, but just it's still niche. So yeah. Tell people about it.
Yeah.
Because there's podcasts for everybody.
Yeah. Let your coworker know. Let your best friend know.
Tell your mom or your dad.
Tell your mom and your dad.
Yeah, because I think it's mostly the youngerish age that are really into podcasts because they're hip with the technology. And older people are like, what's a podcast? Like, it's a radio that you can listen to whatever you want.
Right.
So just kind of explain it to them that way and show them how to do it on their phones. Because, a lot of adults even have smartphones. They don't even know half what they can do with them.
Believe me. I know some adults that don't know how to use their smartphones. So definitely let people know about the show as well. So, yeah, it's... the word of mouth is always a wonderful thing. If you get any recommendation, I am always looking for recommendations for a good podcast. So if you know a good podcast, you can obviously just
send it our way.
Yeah, let us know.
Let us know what you think are good podcasts. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure getting to talk with you, voice to voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
It was wonderful.
It was fun.
Like I said, I'm thoroughly impressed in your knowledge of Star Trek. I didn't think you were going to come out the gate with everything you had in your brain. That's pretty cool.
I definitely want to have you on again if you're willing to come back, and I hope we can get Guy on when you're on too.
We'll talk another Star Trek episode,
and then have a segue into anime.
Yeah, we'll have an anime segue to it.
Probably a little.
Yeah, definitely.
That's always fun.
Very cool.
Well, thank you everyone so much for listening. It's been a great, great time tonight.
It definitely has, especially with you, Dave.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you, guys.
Live long and prosper, one and all.
Peace and long life.
Amen, Sarek. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Nice. So you live in Portland?
Huh?
You live in Portland?
Oh, I live in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle. Okay. Okay. My baby brother lives in Olympia, Washington, so.
Oh, yeah.
The naval is gone.
Lived there for a while.
Did you see my my Klingon mug?
I don't think she's going to understand what that looks like.
It's really
dark. Is it like the metal blood wine one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Metal blood
wine. I recognize that.
She knows it.
I know lots of things.
I'm always
impressed. Can you make us go?
I'm always just impressed when somebody comes in and they can like name like people's characters like from odd shows,
Daystrom.
Daystrom is that's a really offbeat
pole there, you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have, you know.